Welcome to the session. I will be talking about user research and how I use this to design public transportation in GNOME. So my name is Andreas. I've been involved in GNOME for about 10 years now. During daytime, I work at Red Hat as an interaction designer, mostly on a project called Cockpit. It's a server UI, basically, making it easier to administer your server. But during the nights, I do design on GNOME Maps, which I will be talking about today. So it started with Marcus Lundblad, a GNOME Maps developer who filed this bug, where he said he needed a sign for public transportation. Because GNOME Maps already had support for getting from point A to B by walking, by biking, and by taking a car. But he wanted to add a fourth method, which was using public transportation. And I found this quite an interesting challenge, because I grew up in a very small village on the countryside of Sweden called Bäckelund, and you can see the map here behind. About 200 people live there, very remote. So there's only one bus leaving three times a day if you wanted to get somewhere. And this was like after walking to the bus stop, which was 2 kilometers away from my parents' house. But these days, I live in Gothenburg. Fairly central, in an apartment, and from the bus stop that is just outside my door, basically, there is a bus or a tram going off like pretty much every third minute. So I found this quite an interesting challenge, and you know, like I thought, like, well, I would know this, right? I've seen both sides of public transportation, you know, like on the countryside, remote, and like in the middle of a city. So I should know it all, right? I would just need to apply my usual process for when I design things, going from like an idea of what a application or a function in an application is supposed to do, deciding on who is this for and how should it work. And after that, just drawing it out in mockups, and after that, just implementing it. And of course, like this process is a lot more complicated than this in reality, because you have a lot of review back and forth and stuff like that. I talked to my girlfriend Fabiana about this, and she's born and raised in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and after just a couple of minutes, I realized that we actually had very different experiences and expectations on public transportation. So it actually appeared that my process looked more like this, because like I know how I use public transportation, but I actually don't know how other people are using public transportation. There was apparently a missing step here, full of unknowns. So I realized I had to do some research on this. And doing user research, I always found it a bit scary before, because I've read a lot of literature on it. But this literature is usually very academic. And it feels like unless you do a sample of like, I don't know, 500 people or 1,000 ideally, over a period of a year, then, you know, like, why are you even showing up if you're not doing that? I always thought it was a bit scary, but I felt like, yeah, why not, right? Why just I don't do it? Because if I just talk to a couple of people, that's already a lot better than just basing all the information on one person, which is myself. So I decided to call up some friends and family and asked them some questions. And yeah, it was fairly quick process, actually. After some introduction and telling them what I wanted, and also what I needed help with, and just telling them like, oh, and this is how I'll use your data, and I will publish the answers, and I hope you're okay with that. It was like, I don't know, maybe like 10, 15 minutes in total. So it wasn't all that complicated, actually. And I asked them these things. This is some of the things I wanted to know. The first one, like, do you own a car? So I wanted to know if public transportation was their only option for going longer places. Another one was like, what app or website are you using today? So I would just learn about more apps and websites out there that I could look at for inspiration. And then one of them was, do you prefer a certain mean of transportation? Like, do you like trains more than buses, right? And I got a lot of very good answers out of this. I learned a lot of new things. And the people I spoke to, they lived in very different places, like some in the countryside, some in cities. Two of them were Brazilians, and they could tell me about public transportation in Rio and the difficulties with that. But one thing that really stood out to me was, again, with this, like, do you prefer a certain mean of transportation? A friend of mine told me, I don't prefer a certain mean, but I really do not want to take a bus because I get really, really car sick, like to the extent that I just faint. So I just can't take them. Like, I don't prefer a certain thing. I just really want to avoid buses. Whatever interface, it's very important for me to be able to filter those out because they just don't apply to me. It was something I hadn't thought of at all. So I had all this data. I wrote it all down from the interviews, their answers, and I just distilled them down. And I created these fictional characters out of all the data from the six people I got. I took parts of them and made these personas out of them, like these fictional characters. They all have certain features and they all have a mission. So we can dive into one of them. So one of them, this Yenny character, she lives in New York, just moved there, so she doesn't know the place at all. She needs to be at her new job at a certain time, right? And that's her mission. But more importantly, she gets very carsick and therefore wants to avoid the bus. So I took the information I learned from a friend, directly applied it to one of the scenarios. All right. And once I was done with these scenarios and I had spoken to Marcus about it, and he thought it was all good so far, I turned them into mockups. And I made sure that the mockups were, that they met the needs of these personas that then were based on the interviews. So I made certain decisions. For example, for going again to the car sickness thing, you're able to see what means of transportation you're having here, and you're able to filter out the buses. And if you want to see it as an action, I can show it afterwards. I didn't want to show it in action because demos always go wrong. That was pretty much it. Marcus implemented it, and during the implementation, I also made sure to do some usability testing. Also, just with some friends, me coming over to their place or they coming over to my place, and they were able to, I was able to see like, oh, did I choose the right widgets? Did I use understandable wording? They were able to catch just things that would behave badly in the UI if it clicked on certain things. And we fixed this in the process, and then the next person who tested it after that was able to avoid those. So yeah, these are all the people that helped me. These people didn't use, these people did a usability testing, Monica's implementing it, and also Open Trip Planner, which is the library that we use for the actual behind the team. So in some sense, you could say like, well, a team of 11 people made this, right? It wasn't just two people, it was 11 people. And yeah, if you ever done user research, or if you're interested in it, I would love to talk to you and figure out how we can do this more in the future, and to learn how to get better at it together. So yeah, come and grab me after the talk, basically. And I think that was it.
Questions then.
Hello. Is a type of transportation dynamic? Because like some place don't have a tram, and some place trains are different type of trains, and you also may want, like in Paris, for instance, we have the metro and the ARIA and the TER, and like a lot of people, if they can avoid it, they take only the metro, not the ARIA, like this kind of stuff.
Right. So the UI, and there are probably tons of places where we could improve this. It does try to differ between different means of transportation. So you would be able to select from a limited list. But I think in total, their actual full list in the library is like something between 40 different means of transportation. But I think it also comes down to what are the scenarios that you need to carry out? What are the actions you need to carry out? Like, and where does that differ between the different means of transportation?
Okay. So it will not, depending on the place where you're looking at, it will not like kind of adapt to the different kind of transportation they may have.
Right. If you're a city, if you have point A and point B, and there are no trams in that city, say it's a city like, I don't know, do New York have trams? I guess they don't, right? And if they don't have trams, it won't show up there. Because sure, you could filter them out, but they don't even exist in the first place, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you arrive to those questions that you asked to the survey participants?
First of all, I had some like internal questions on myself, right? I've been using, say, Google Maps. I looked at other applications. I looked at, for example, Google Maps, and I realized they do have a filter means of transportation there. And I was like, why is that? Is that something I could like ignore in my UI, or is it something that is really, really crucial? So I think if I hadn't done those interviews and gotten those answers, maybe I would either have completely left it out of the design, or I would have, buried it like further down. One more example of this is like I figured out that people often take the same train or bus all the time because they need to go to work or they need to go to university each day. So that's why I opted in to show the line numbers already for those that knows like, well, I just take number 8 and I take number 3. I know where I take number 8 from and I know where I need to switch to number 3. And that's it basically. So yeah, it was all questions that I asked myself. And I didn't do it this time, but maybe next time I would ask, if I would develop something with Marcus again, I would probably ask him, like, what are the things you would like to find out?
It looks great. Thanks for sharing with us. I have a question about whether or not, if you know, how would you know if a city has public transportation available? And also, like, say it doesn't, then what would the UI look like if there is no transportation possible? Is there a way to be able to add that, perhaps, if a city has that information available from their website?
So the library we're using, Open Trip Planner, this is obviously not available for all cities in all countries, right? I think the way the UI works, right, is that you search from point A to point B. We probably do a very bad job right now of showing any kind of error state where it says, like, well, this trip is simply not possible because it doesn't exist in the data. So that's definitely something we need to look at.
This is a feature I really like in Google Map, which, even though it's terrible for privacy, is like you can set home and work, because basically, as you said, like, you often take the same trip. So, like, some very often, like, I only care about, like, where I go, which change. But I live from my home, so, like, I like to click the home button and then just set the address, and, like, so just an idea, like,
yeah, which, yeah, I think that's definitely something I considered. I didn't want to include too much in, like, the first version, but I think definitely, and I mean, based on what you're saying and based on, like, a lot of what the people I was talking to were saying, that it is a fairly common use case, right? That you need to get from the same place to the same place every time, or most of the time at least. I'm not super sure how that would look. Right now we have a thing so it can look for your current location. That's a start at least, if you do plan your trip when you're home.
But that could be the point. It will be from your current location to your home. It's just a matter of a click.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I'm not super sure how a UI for that would look, but it's definitely a desired feature. Could the thing remember that after you've done a search, like, 10 times, or I don't know what number, it could, like, remember, like, oh, this is a place, right? Instead of you having to go through the effort of yourself doing a manual favoriting. But we also have a concept for just favor, like, starring a certain location. So it's definitely something that it could easily show accessible. So.
So you mentioned that you did user testing. I'm wondering, did you only test the final result, or did you have any prototypes before you started, before coding started?
No, I did not have any prototypes, like any kind of, like, paper mockups or anything to have them test with. But I did test I started doing the testing when the branch was still fairly young and still had a lot of unimplemented features in it. So, I mean, one way is that you can dive into a track and you can see the walking bit and you can see the all the stations, expand those for when you're new in a city and you don't know what is the stop before the one that I need to go off with, right? So even when that wasn't working properly still, I started doing the testing already. And then, yeah, we found things during the ride, and we like, fixed those, right? And then, so it was not a testing of the final product. It was definitely testing, like, a thing that was still in progress.
So this may be more a question about the underlying library than the implementation.
Oh, I'm probably the wrong person to answer that.
But we'll you might know yes or no state of it. Does it handle things where you have to stop in the middle of your tram ride and walk and then go to another station and then start riding the tram again and then walk some more between stations? And
yes, it does. Sort of yeah, it has logic for saying, oh, you need to walk 200 meters to this station, take this bus or whatever to this other station, walk for 300 meters, and then carry on from there with another one.
Can it reroute you if you get lost?
I'm sorry?
Can it reroute you if you get lost and you're not where you thought you were?
No, and I think that's one of the hard questions as well. Would you take your laptop with you? Maybe not, on the bus. And do you have like a device to, well, you could connect it to your phone. But that's another thing, right? I mean, sure, I have this on my laptop. Should there be a functionality for me to send it to another device and then be able to carry on the track on the device, right? So it's a possible future edition. If you figure out a good way to do it, I have no idea how. But I think Alan had a question too. Don't make too hard of a question, maybe?
So it's really cool to see a talk about doing research for design, and we should definitely do more of it. My question is about interviewing. Like, compared to something like a usability test, I think like a free-form interview or a semi-structured interview requires a bit more kind of skill and practice, perhaps. Like, it's not something that everyone is going to be able to pick up straight away. So I was wondering if there's anything that you learnt about how to ask questions, how to ask follow-up questions, like just the general technique of interviewing. You know, I'll oftentimes it's like subtle things like allowing a certain kind of length of pause after you ask a question, or, you know, these little things.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, like, do we need to like build up some kind of guide for how to do it, or are there resources that we could use to help people with that?
Yeah. So definitely, like, in the literature I read, and I think that's a good start, read some, not the books I read specifically, but like, there is a good lot of good literature out there, probably some online resources as well. And I mean, one obvious thing is don't talk too much yourself. As you said, give a little pause and give the person some time, right? Even like make uncomfortable pauses because they will try and fill in more information in that pause, for example, you know? And I think definitely if we try and do this more together, we can learn from each other and everyone learns with experience and get better at it, basically. I mean, I did this for the first time myself. I'm pretty sure, like, next time I'll do it, I'll make it in a less terrible way, of course, you know? Hopefully, at least.
Hey, just out of curiosity, when you interviewed people and when you asked for either the fastest way to get from A to B or the smallest number of switching, were there also people that asked for the cheapest way?
There is a friend of mine, the same friend who got carsick. She goes to Japan a lot. She said one interesting quirk about the Tokyo public transportation system is that unlike a lot of cities, they don't have one bus company. They have like 6-7 of them or something. So in that case, it's very important all of a sudden to know the price of the individual bus. So like, yeah, because they also vary a lot in price, it seems. So yeah, that's definitely one of the things that stood out to me when I talked to some people. And that all came up also in the, do you have any additional thoughts on this whole thing that we just spoke about? So a lot of interesting stuff like that came up in that process.
About this same question, actually, it's also, I think, when you make a trip, you want to stay with the same company, because if you have changes of trains, if you keep the same company, usually it's one ticket, I guess, and if you take another company at this time, so it's, I guess that's something also maybe to take into account when you start a trip. If there are several companies in the same city, maybe, I mean, depends on the city. But I guess it will depend, in this case, they will want to stay with the same company. I know I live in Japan, and in Japan there are several companies also.
It's also a question of, like, what is the information I need out of this? Not too much, like, is it the same company? Because I would be loyal with a certain company or something.
It's not about...
But rather, like... I don't want to pay a lot of money. Show me how much money would be together, right? Okay. And then I see, like, oh, and this guy, it's like so much cheaper than the other one for some reason. I'm going to choose that one.
It's not about being loyal to the company. It's also about being cheaper.
It is. Yeah. That's the thing, right? So I wouldn't make it so much as a switch of stick to the same company or use different companies, but trying to get to the root to... Why is this important to the user in the end? And what kind of information do they need to make an informed decision? So yeah, you're right. It's all about the actual money in the end.
Actually, this is one case where the software cannot know. It's like also about Japan. It's like as a tourist, when you go to Japan, you can buy this pass, which are called GRI pass with a GR company. And with this, you can take for free only GR switch, so the company only GR tickets, and the software cannot know this. So in this case, you will want to tell the, it's for also for the money, but it's, even though actually the price of this train will be more expensive, if you had to pay it, since you already paid it because you have this pass for 2 weeks, then you will want to say, I want only GR train, please.
Yeah. It's definitely a challenge. I think a similar thing came up with a friend who lives in the countryside, and he said, like, well, if I have a certain kind of card, it allows me to take also these trains, but general commuters who doesn't have this monthly special card can't take those. I have no idea how the UI would work for that, but it's definitely an interesting case, and I also think, like, sure, I mostly spoke to Swedish people and some who had done some travel. If in the future I would be able to do more interviews, do interviews together with a lot of other people, we would be able to, just be able to talk to a lot more people be able to find out more specific geographic information like that. So I think that would be interesting.
You noticed that you used personas when designing this. Do you find those actually useful? Like, have you arrived at a point where, like, you constructed the image of, like, Roberto, he's a cheap bastard, he would never take a train at that point, or is it just, you know?
I use them for every single thing I design, actually. Not always, mostly in cockpit, right? We use it for every single feature, basically, that I design. But those are personas who are rather based on agreements. Like, you get, like, a lot of input from different people. Oh, it needs to do this, it needs to do that. And then the personas we use more as just a tool to be able to talk about how a certain things should be used and talk about it in a more general way rather than having someone say, oh, but this certain thing, I like that more and I like that more. So you're able to make it less about your own specific thoughts and needs and be able to take it on a more general level and also be able to change them. Like, oh, this is a thing we would never do. Some developer you work with, and like, oh, but this guy, he doesn't make sense at all. We're not aiming our product on this person at all, which I think is a lot more useful rather than just having a list of features, for example. Oh, it needs to have these features and But it takes a bit of getting used to.
Hi. So this is not about actually your talk, but it's a little announcement. So we've been using Mapbox for tiles for a little while, and apparently we're very, very successful. We're approaching 10 times the amount of map views that Mapbox wanted to provide in the beginning. So that is good, but also bad. So we're going to have a little bit of a buff to brainstorm what we can do about this. 16th in the morning in room 118, if you're interested in the situation with tiles in maps. Please come.
Cool. Yeah, it seems we used up a lot of time, so maybe it's soon time for the on-conference talk, right? Yes. Okay, thank you.